And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the topics, issues, and people that are important to you. We do this every weekday at 9 a.m. here on KRDO News Radio. And this morning in the studio, we're very pleased to welcome my guest this morning, Darcy Nicklausen, who is the developer of Blue Dot Place and Casa Mundi, two boutique apartment properties in downtown Colorado Springs, as well as James McMurray, the executive committee member with Urban Land Institute. And we are talking about affordable housing in the Colorado Springs area, in Southern Colorado's metro areas. And Darcy and James, thanks so much for coming in.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's, you know, this is, I know, the subject that really occupies probably all of your working, waking time. And it is certainly a subject that I think encompasses concerns of everyone who has had to find housing or who knows the difficulty of finding affordable housing in our area is. So let's start with you, Darcy. We've heard the predictions coming out. According to the Census Bureau, over the next 15 years, Colorado Springs expected to overtake Denver as Colorado's largest city. Now, of course, that has to do a lot with boundaries. James and I were talking, but with the growth that we are expecting, there comes a demand for housing. How great.
Yeah, so people are continuing to move to the Colorado Springs region, to El Paso County. That means that there is an increased demand for housing, and that means a housing for all types, from in all ranges.
From affordable housing, some on the lower end, all the way up to the higher end housing. So we're seeing a lot of growth. We're seeing companies interested in moving to our community. That means they need a place for their employees to live. We also see people moving and choosing to move to Colorado Springs over Boulder, over Denver, over other metropolitan cities in the West because of our beautiful resources, mm-hmm. our beautiful mountains, our easy access to the mountains, and our sense of community and who we are.
But all of that attraction, all of the potential for growth and the likelihood of growth, that does not have, to use a double negative, a zero net effect on housing. There is an impact on the housing market. What is that impact that you see?
Yeah, absolutely. So anytime we have increased demand, we have an increase in pricing for whatever is being so sought after. And so in the case of housing, with a huge influx of people coming into our region, the housing prices are going up. Now, that doesn't mean, that's not to say that our local developers, our local housing community isn't working on providing a variety of housing, but there are a lot of, in a different housing prices, but a lot of that takes time. And a lot of those projects, especially the more affordable projects, have longer lead times because they're having to supplement the project costs or the rents with government financing.
And it takes a while to get those grants.
And that takes a long time to get into place. It also takes a time for our community to put those things in place because we got to get it right. We have to get those policies right. So while the city is working on a variety of policies to make affordable housing a possibility, it takes time to put that together.
And Darcy and James, I'll throw this out. Affordable housing projects, when you're looking at trying to increase the range of financial options for people in looking for housing, it seems like the public appetite then needs to be considered because sometimes you get a lot of public resistance to certain projects in certain places.
Yeah, you see that quite frequently. A lot of folks, you know, with a given project, you'll hear the comments say, we support and understand the need for the housing. It just probably shouldn't be here. And that is a difficult nut to crack when that's the story that every community or neighborhood comes to the table with sometimes.
The NIMBY.
A little bit,
not
yeah.
Not in my backyard.
Right.
So while the demand for housing is on the rise, and we can acknowledge that it is, many statewide question whether we should put a cap on growth, on growing. What would a cap do to the local economy? Any thoughts?
It would have overall, I think, a very negative effect on the economy. And it would certainly have a negative effect on affordability. And you can see that in other metro areas in the country. So one good case study that could be taken is some of the, you know, San Francisco has really struggled to keep up with the demand for housing as a as an overall metro area, and they are having tremendous difficulties with affordability. Mm-hmm. By contrast, Metro Seattle, which is by no means the most affordable place in the world, has done there have been studies showing that their ability to keep up with that demand over time has sort of blunted the negative impacts that come along with the rise of of unaffordable housing. And so demand meeting supply, economics 101, that is a huge piece of the puzzle. It doesn't solve everything. There's so many other big factors at play, but you have to meet the demand with the supply, and a cap would have a huge problem on that. And it would,
squeezing
the supply, prices, making it harder for people to get into, into home ownership, making it harder for people to be mobile in their jobs. And all of those things then, roll into the broader economy. And I'm not an economist, but, you can imagine where that would sort of lead over time.
Right. And so when you're talking about, I guess, Darcy, what kind of housing our region should really be focusing on, what would you say the answer is? Because you said it, we are building quite a few single family homes, especially as you move out east and move up north.
Right. So we need to look at the whole spectrum of housing. There are people that need affordable housing. Unfortunately, we have some in our community, and it's in every community, that need very supportive housing, very permanent supportive housing on the lower end. But that's not to say that our community is also attracting new companies. We are attracting executives. And so to build high-end housing that they are looking to live in is okay. So it's the entire spectrum. If you look at any company, we have employees in all ranges, right?
Of salary ranges,
of
right.
All
right,
of salary right, ranges. Right. So you might have receptionists, we have janitorial. We need to have a place for those people to live and have a good community. But you also have executives. So it's a whole range. So we need to focus not on just one type of housing, but on how are we providing the housing overall. And the developers in our community are really looking to do that. There's not any real one developer that doesn't have employees.
Right.
Or general contractors that don't have employees that need housing. We all recognize that.
And whether it's the executive who can really afford anything or going down to perhaps the receptionist who's supporting a family of three on, $30,000, $40,000 a year, you need to have housing that fits all those different needs.
And the development community can provide some of this. Mm-hmm. But there's also the resale community. We were talking about that earlier. If you buy your house at a price and then say in 2 years you're needing to move to a larger house or you're downsizing or you're moving out of the area, you're going to want to sell that house for as much as you possibly can. And that's okay. Our society says that is okay. So that crunches our housing stock too, right? If we aren't able to bring more housing on and you can only buy what's being resold on the market and there's not a huge amount of resale on the market, it's going to get crunched. And that means the price is going to go up and affordability goes down. So we're looking to provide housing that some people can only rent. Some people make better renters than do homeowners. Homeownership has a lot of cost to it. Mm-hmm. I have a $15,000 roof repair coming up myself. That is something you have to be taking into account as a homeowner.
Right.
And maintaining your property so that your neighbors' properties are not affected by yours. So it's not only about who can afford to own a home, but there's the rental community too.
True. We have many more questions that we're going to be delving into here on The Extra. Today's topic, today's focus, affordable housing in the Colorado Springs metro area. Your time right now is 9:17. We have a lot more coming up, including something very interesting. There is going to be a gathering that's going to be taking place where you can get your questions about affordable housing answered. And it's everybody has specific questions. So this gathering, this panel discussion that's coming up, this event on April 7th will be it. We'll have the details of that coming up after the break as The Extra continues here on KRDO News Radio. 9:21 is your time as we welcome you back to The Extra. Today's focus, housing in Colorado Springs. It is a continuum of housing that we're talking about. As Colorado Springs grows, so does the need for housing. And it spans everything from single-family homes to apartment properties to workforce housing. The community is really working hard to address these housing shortages that some are experiencing. And joining me in the studio to talk about this, I'm so pleased to welcome James McMurray with the Urban Land Institute and Darcy Nicklausen, the developer of Blue Dot Place and Casa Mundi. Welcome again.
Thanks
so much for sharing your insight. And we are talking about this continuum of housing because you do have such a range that people are seeking. And what I hear is that they're really struggling to find the right spot for them, the right fit, the right place at the right price point. And Darcy, you're a local developer who's played a key role in really starting the developmental residential housing boom that we have going on downtown. It's so exciting to see all the cranes there, because I know about 8 years ago, there was maybe 10 years ago, that was not happening downtown, it seems like. You opened Blue Dot Place and you had a market analysis that drove the decision. So what was it about seeing what the market was showing, and why was this, do you think, such a milestone moment for downtown Colorado Springs?
Right. So we opened Blue Dot Place. I opened Blue Dot Place with my partner, Kathy Liu, in 2016. And really, we were seeing across the entire nation a movement to move back into our city centers for people wanting a lifestyle where they can have easy access to the coffee shop next door, where they didn't want to have to drive, where they wanted to walk to work, where they wanted to walk to go get a cocktail after dinner or after work and so forth. So knowing that national trend, it just wasn't happening in our downtown as
it was
of
not.
Yet.
Yeah.
So Kathy and I very much wanted to support our community. And at the time, I lived very much in the immediate downtown neighborhood, wanting to support that neighborhood. Looked at studies that our downtown partnership had done with Urban Land Institute, as well as other national studies, saying, hey, there is a market for residential in downtown. So Kathy and I decided to start with 33 units, feeling that risk that we could find 33 people in our community that really wanted to live in our urban core. And we did. And we have successfully done that for 4 years now. And additional apartments have come on since. So we're really excited to see that thrive. And that really met Kathy and I's goal of starting a housing renaissance and starting to get the housing market going downtown.
Well, and a big pat on the back for you and Kathy, because this is National Women's Day month. And so, you know, to have a female-led development really kickstarting that downtown, quite an accomplishment. And this was a milestone moment for downtown Colorado Springs. How do you think it's changed the landscape in the downtown area?
So now we have just under 2,000 people, I believe, on the most recent count, living in our downtown core. If you look back to 4 years, we had maybe a couple hundred people living in our downtown core area or less. So that has an impact on being able to support our downtown retailers, because you tend to shop or you tend to go out to have dinner and stuff in your local neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So that helps to support our independent businesses that are downtown. It also helps to support our businesses that are looking to locate downtown for a variety of reasons, and office as well as retail and restaurants.
Nobody wants to see an empty downtown when they're bringing in a company, trying to lure a company to locate in Colorado Springs. Right. They don't want to drive through downtown and see it just empty sidewalks, not much activity. Right. They want a downtown that's going to be pleasing to their workers that they bring
in. Wouldn't we want that? We've already put the infrastructure in as a city. Mm-hmm. The water there, the sewer is there, the electrical, the streets. Why would we want to abandon a part of our city and not continue to keep it up and revitalize it?
And just last week, you opened a second property, Casa Mundi, a 27-unit apartment property that's also in the heart of downtown. Now, this is the first mixed-use, multi-unit development in Colorado Springs.
Right.
I know a little bit
really
about it.
What that means. What
our
does that mean, right?
What does it mean?
Okay, so mixed-use means that we have retail on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a four-story building. We have up to three retail units on the first floor. They could be, and we're looking right now at a mix of restaurants as well as service industry. As well. And then we have three levels of apartments on the second, third, and fourth floors.
And these are rentals?
They are rentals.
Okay. Yes. And what's the meaning of Casa Mundi?
So Casa Mundi came about in that I really pay attention to our renters at Blue Dot Place. Mm-hmm. And we found that we had a lot of renters and a lot of people that live and want to live in the urban core really love to travel and they go out and explore the world. So Casa means home. Because these people really value home. They value, our residents value going to the local coffee shops, supporting local retailers, local restaurateurs. Home is very important. But they also value the world. And Mundi has roots in the word world. So when you put the two together, it's a juxtaposition between I value home and I value the world around me. And so we're just going to put those two together.
Ah, interesting. You always wonder how things got a name, and now we know. So when you're, I guess, talking to potential renters or anyone who's looking to move downtown, why do you think people choose to live downtown versus the suburbs? Because we're seeing infrastructure grow in the suburbs in the Colorado Springs area.
Right. So it's not about that we can only have one or the other, right? There are, people are looking for a more urban lifestyle. Like I said, they want to walk, they want to bike, they might live in the urban core. So that's, it's really a lifestyle choice of what they're looking to do. People that want to live in the suburbs, hey, that's great too. The suburbs provide a wonderful place to live too, known for a great place to raise a family and so forth. So I think our communities need both. It's not one or the other, but we need to support both.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I don't even know this, because you have a lot of outdoor space that you could take advantage of. I was going to say the thing that I might miss is a yard, but when you're downtown, you've right. got the sidewalks and the, you know, surrounding parks that are your outdoors, your yard.
Right.
So it's very
exciting.
And you
know what? Most of our residents, they head to the mountains on the weekends. So we have places to store bikes. We store kayaks. We store backpacking equipment. We have residents pool in with campers. It's not to say that you choose to live in
one
an
or the
apartment
other. Right.
That you don't value being outside.
Well, and you know what they don't have to do on the weekends.
Mow the
Mow
grass.
Grass.
Right.
That's so true. And James and Darcy, let's quickly mention, because we're about coming up on close to taking a break as we continue our discussion on housing in Colorado Springs, but you have an event coming up April 7th. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure. So I've been involved with the Urban Land Institute for the better part of almost two decades now, and we're looking forward to having an event on affordable housing that we've organized down here in the Springs on affordable and attainable housing. That's taking place on April 7th. So the Urban Land Institute is sort of an industry group for developers and architects and even investors. And so the city will be presenting its comprehensive housing plan at that event. And we'll be looking at affordable housing in the community and what are the obstacles that need to be overcome to bring more affordability to the community and just work that issue. It's something that's, you know, always going to be there.
Vitally important. It is. All right. Well, it is coming up on 9:30 here on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to The Extra. We're going to be taking a break, but when we come back, more questions and answers that we're going to be discussing regarding housing in Colorado Springs, the continuum of housing, the drive of people to find the best fit for them at their price point for housing in the Colorado Springs and metro area. And we're back in just a moment here on The Extra. And welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today's topic, I don't think, could be any more important to everyone in this area. We're talking about housing in Colorado Springs and in the metro area, in the surrounding suburbs. And joining me, I'm so pleased to have in this studio, Darcy Nicklausen, a developer with Casa Mundi and Blue Dot Place, the developer of that, along with her partner, and James McMurray, who's with the Urban Land Institute, an executive committee member. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming in here. And James, before we were going to break, you were talking about this event coming up to talk about housing on April 7th. Can you give us a few more details of that, where it's going to be, et cetera?
Sure. It'll we'll be meeting it in the afternoon at 2 p.m. The location is listed on the ULI Colorado website. That's uli.colorado.org. You'd be able to get to that event there. There will be a panel discussion held at Silver Key on the southeast side of town after we do a couple of tours of affordable projects in the community. So
this is spanning the whole gamut to answer questions, to offer answers.
Correct. Okay. So we'll be looking at we'll be just doing site tours of a couple of places to put eyes on and gain that firsthand perspective of what it takes to get this stuff built. And then coming back and having a handful of experts, including Darcy, on a panel talking about affordable housing in Colorado Springs.
And James, when we're talking about affordable housing, can you define it, affordable housing?
Sure. So there's a couple of measures that folks in the industry tend to use when we're talking about affordable housing. So the first is in terms of the area median income. So that's based on the census data, right? Call it the city of Colorado Springs or the Colorado Springs Metro has a given median income. And typically, we define housing in terms of whether that's 80% of AMI, area median income, or even 50%, 30%. In some communities, they feel where there's a real challenge on affordability, if you can get it to 120%, you're doing a really great job. And so that's one measure that gets used a lot. And typically, the other number that goes along with that is the sort of the defined limit of affordability is in terms of percentage of income. So a household that is spending 30% of their income or less on housing is considered not to be housing burdened. Whereas households that spend more than 50% of their income on housing are considered extremely burdened from a housing
perspective. And that's a figure you hear a lot around Colorado Springs.
Right.
They're at that 50% mark.
Right. There's absolutely plenty of households in that boat. And so it's something that, ideally we get ourselves down to that 30% range. I mean, nobody wants to be spending so much on their housing that they can't then afford to do, other things that would improve their quality of life. And another thing that, a lot of smart folks have been thinking about and looking at is sort of a housing plus transportation cost index, right? So, the house might be affordable technically, but if you're having to spend so much because every person in that household needs to own a car to be able to function, right, that housing plus transportation burden can get to a tipping point where, the house was cheap, but really is your lifestyle actually affordable?
If you're spending, $25-$50 every 2 days to get to your destination, whether it's work or school, all of a sudden you're looking at a bill of like $100 a week, maybe $400 a month.
Right. And so, Colorado Springs has been relatively affordable, particularly comparing just directly to the Denver metro area over time. But if you layer on that transportation component, all of a sudden the picture is not quite as pretty.
Right. And unlike Denver, we don't have light rail to help guide people a little in a little bit more economic way to their destination. So how do you think, in your perspective, James, is the local development community responding to the need for affordable housing?
Well, I think that, Colorado Springs has always been a fairly pro-growth community. And the developers obviously have always been working to meet that need. So from that standpoint, I think that everybody involved is really concerned with that. Even folks that are focused more on the higher end of the market, like Darcy in the case of her downtown projects, they are providing that supply. They're trying to meet that demand. But you also have then other developers in the community that are exclusively focused on, nonprofit, affordable housing development. And so as Darcy alluded to in a previous segment, we have to be focusing across the spectrum and really making sure we're thinking about all of that, because otherwise we just fall behind.
How could the government, the city government, whether it's Colorado Springs or Monument or Fountain, how could they support developers in building in creating these affordable housing units?
There's a lot of ways that local governments can do that. And the city of Colorado Springs, I think, is generally doing quite a good job on that front, particularly in the downtown, where they've established some pretty forward-thinking zoning standards. Developers can come in with even large projects and get them approved administratively in weeks. And that is almost unheard of in most major metro areas, where that process can take years. And so, you know, time is a huge cost, you know, huge factor
right,
in
right.
terms of building in, you know, the costs for development.
Because they're carrying the land costs.
Exactly.
They're carrying all the construction worker
right,
costs.
Right. All of those, you know, all the interest that accumulates through that mm-hmm. period and the rising cost of construction and all of those things can really be alleviated by shortening that window.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, you know, we have really capable and really hardworking, you know, folks working in the planning, you know, department of the city. They do a great job. And I think we're seeing a lot of, you know, pretty good things. The city's even, you know, just updated its comprehensive plan.
Mm-hmm.
They've done a lot of great work identifying, you know, the policies that hopefully get us to a place where we're maintaining affordability and, you know, throughout the area.
To providing that support, you know, because recently a story made headlines. We all thought it was very interesting. I think we even ran it on the news about an ad for a rental that was a shed. It was someone's, you know, shed that they had built, tough built shed or something, and they were renting it for $1,500 a month, and we were so shocked around here. And then I went online, and I think on Facebook Marketplace, and I found a very similar property, same price point. That was in Silicon Valley, and ours was right here in Colorado Springs, a shed, you know, about 200, 300 square feet, and it was being rented for that amount. So, you know, when we think the affordable housing crunch is elsewhere, we're talking about it here, too. It is here.
I believe Mayor Southers is putting in together some programs as well. To be able for local developers to get some support from the city in working with low income tax credits and so forth. So there are programs being built, but like we said, those programs take time to put in place and we got to do it right. So we're not seeing stuff necessarily. Some stuff is coming out of the ground, which is fantastic, but there's more to come.
Why is affordable housing so important when your community is growing?
Well, it's important because, you know, unlike, you know, other things that we produce, right? We can't move the ground around, right? It's in a fixed place. And locations and our places are unique. So we have a responsibility to make sure that, you know, folks can access and enjoy all of the areas of the community to the fullest extent possible. And you know, we so often I think we don't think about the intergenerational benefits that come from that, right? Are we building a place that my kids can enjoy and not have to move 30, 45 minutes away, right? I want them, mm-hmm. you know, potentially to live, you know, within a distance to be able to come home for dinner on the weekends, right? But when we price our own kids out of the community, when folks retire, if it, you know, is so expensive that they have to move, those
because they're on a fixed income,
they're on right. a fixed income, right? Mm-hmm. There are social connections that get formed, right? The social fabric of our community becomes a little bit threadbare when people are having to move on the basis of affordability. And so, what kind of community can we create for our you know, friends and family so that we don't have to be subject to those kinds of things? That to me is one of the biggest reasons why I think we should be thinking about and pursuing affordability in our community.
Well, and I think the housing community is very lucky to have two such brilliant minds as the ones who are joining me here on The Extra. We have another segment left. We're going to be taking a break right now, but much more to talk about when it comes to housing in Colorado Springs. You're listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Time right now, 9:47. And welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. And we are pleased to be discussing, well, pleased and frustrated because I think it is a frustrating topic for many. But we're talking about housing in Colorado Springs. The conundrum that our community has really become so attractive to employers who are moving in from outside, as well as employers who are here, who are bumping up their numbers. All of that growth, though, then puts a pressure on housing. So we want to make sure we're discussing what are the pressure points that are causing the housing prices to become tough For some, you know, simply getting to be 50% of their income, that becomes a problem spot. I'm joined by Darcy Niklausen, a developer with Casamundi and Blue Dot Place, as well as James McMurray, who's the executive committee member for the Urban Land Institute. And you both have been giving me such great insight into all the different dynamics that go on. Let's go back, Darcy. We were talking to you. You have two downtown properties right now. And tell me about this. You have a live, connect, belong philosophy with these properties. What exactly is that?
Right. So that's really developed over the last several years. And the live part is that we focus on creating really great places to live. Down to the details, I'm teased about, I'm incredibly involved in where the thermostats are or light switches are. And in creating great places to live to really study that and understand what people's needs are. The connect part is something that we look to do within our own smaller communities. And being a boutique community, we are able to connect our residents to each other relatively easily. Most of our residents, a large majority, have moved here from out of state, so they're looking to recreate connections or to have a support network. So when we can introduce two people that are maybe neighbors and they say, hey, you guys both go like to go hiking, and then they go off hiking together, we consider that an absolute win because mm-hmm. we've given them that connection. We also love to connect them into our greater Colorado Springs community, welcome them, let's get them involved, and have them look to make Colorado Springs an even greater place to live. The third part is that belong part. We are all social beings. And we all are looking to belong to something. So to know that somebody cares, that you are celebrating that you just got married, mm-hmm. or that maybe someone in your family just passed away, we care. In our boutique communities, we're small enough to have that information, to know that information, and to reach out and either celebrate or console our residents as much as we possibly mm-hmm. can, but to be there for them. Mm-hmm. That's creating a sense of community, and that belong part is really, really important. And we actually find that residents have left and moved back, and they tell us that that's why, is that they know that we care.
Because we could do that on our own, but it's difficult, and you're fostering that. The mm-hmm. making connections part, and that's to be applauded, definitely. Right. So when you're talking about the demographic of the people who are moving downtown, who are we talking about?
We have a huge range of people moving into our buildings, and I believe into the downtown area overall. Some people think it's just millennials, but it's not. There are millennials who definitely are looking for the vibrancy and the creativity of the downtown. It's not only millennials that are looking for a vibrant neighborhood. We have a lot of empty nesters. We have a lot of people just going through a transition in their lives. So I can honestly say we have all age ranges from under 18 to up into our 70s and 80s. And we love it. And what we also love is that we get to connect those people together. So they get to understand a little bit what life is like for somebody else, maybe in a different generation. And that creates empathy, that creates understanding in our community.
Well, and we have so much more to talk about, but we've run out of time, unfortunately. But this has been a great discussion. We also talked about where our listeners can go to maybe get some more questions answered if they have them. April 7th, an event that is coming up. And James, what again is that website that we should direct people to?
uli.colorado.org.
Urban Land Institute,
correct.
ULI. Okay. And so April 7th, there will be just a whole range of experts who will be on hand to answer some of your questions. So check that out. We'll make sure that we put the link on our Facebook and website here on KRDO News Radio. You've been listening to The Extra. Darcy and James, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And your time right now is 9:56. And join us again tomorrow in The Extra, where we're going to be talking to members of the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo. We're crossing our fingers and hope they bring an exotic animal or two. That sometimes happens. Again, The Extra here on KRDO News Radio.